frequencies are open. Welcome to the Infinite Potato Alliance.
From the historic Cosmic Potato Studios, welcome to That Star Trek Podcast. This is your place for detailed analysis and speculation of all things Trek. Now, on with the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of That Star Trek Podcast, your one-stop pod for discussions, reviews, speculations, and trivia. For all things Trek, why did he lean on the word trivia so much? You're about to find out. We have a skeleton crew on the show this week. I am joined. Oh, by the way, I'm Scott. I probably forget to say that pretty much every time. I'm Scott Madison, your host, and I am joined today by Rick. How are you?
Oh, I got her my bones.
And the other Madison, Tom. How's it going?
It's going great. Appropriate quote.
No appropriate quote. That is, in fact, inappropriate. I don't know what I'm talking about. So here's what's going to happen this week, folks. We're looking forward. And what do we have before us today? We have a trivia challenge. That's right, everyone. It's Madison versus Madison on this episode of That Star Trek Podcast. Rick is... What's that?
That hasn't happened before.
Never. Never.
Never, never.
So for this episode, I will be turning the helm over to Rick, who has come prepared with questions galore regarding all things Star Trek. And my brother and I are going to face off until the first player to 50 points walks away with the victory, and we'll fight.
Or
figure
we get
out,
bored,
or we get bored. Either is equally likely, but we're going to determine once and for all, and by once and for all, I mean just for now, for tonight, who reigns supreme when it comes to Star Trek in our family. So with all that build up, Rick, take us there.
Y'all can't see it, but I'm holding it up so that the gentleman can see it. I've already shown it to him, but I like showing it off. Several years ago, I'm not sure how many, we think it was ThinkGeek, we may be wrong, put out a trivia game, which is very simple. It's a board game that doesn't have a board. It's just a bunch of trivia cards, one die, but it's in this really cool... 6-inch long, 3-inch high, 3.5-inch high, very screen accurate Galileo shuttlecraft case plastic, which is just incredible.
And Tom, control yourself. He is convulsing with laughter. I think he's a 12-year-old.
Oh, 6-inch long? Okay.
There's been so many name of your sex tape joke opportunities in what Rick has said so far. I just want to put it up so the gentleman can see it. I like showing it off.
I don't call it the Galileo 7 for nothing.
It's a peek behind the curtain, folks. Name of your sex tape has become the joke du jour of our network group chat.
Okay, so the way this is going to work, I will pick a card. These cards... run, I think, up through Enterprise. I'm sure there's no newer Trek in here. Goes at least probably to Enterprise. I'm not sure, but it covers movies, TV shows, etc. Each card has a subject. For example, the card in my hand right now is Star Trek Voyager, and it has 6 questions on it. I will roll the die. Because it's to take any sort of favoritism out of the workings. So I will roll the die and ask the question that corresponds to the symbol on the die. So,
point of order.
Okay.
How are we doing? Are you assigning questions?
I was about to say.
Oh, my mistake. We'll fix that in editing.
No, we won't.
So the way this is going to go is, yes, the questions will be directed to you or Scott first. If you answer the question straight up, you get 2 points. If you don't know the answer or you get it wrong, then your opponent may steal the question for 1 point. Okay?
Acknowledged.
Okay. Cue the fight music. All right, going in alphabetical order, Scott, you get the first question. And we get Klingon. Oh, Jesus. All right, what did Worf refer to as a warrior's drink?
Prune juice.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look. Prune juice is correct. Scott draws first blood. Tom. And I'm going to stop doing the game show announcer voice. How did the testimony at Spock's court-martial appear?
Telepathically on the view screen?
Good enough. It was transmitted by the Talosians. I'll take it. Not a shock here, folks. We are all tied up after the first question. Scott.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I forgot to read the topic. Scott, this is a TOS question.
Okay.
Oh, this might be tricky. What sort of alert demanded extreme urgency?
Extreme urgency.
Extreme urgency.
It sounds like a trick question.
It does, doesn't it? Actually, and I'll amend the rules a little bit. You can ask for a hint, and if I have one to give you, I'll give it to you, and the question will still be only worth 1 point.
Okay. I guess if you have a hint, I'll go ahead and take it, because it seems so simple that it can't be that simple.
This is from the episode Court Martial.
Okay. Of course, I've seen it, but not enough to remember all the details. This is a wild stab. I'm going to say ultimate alert.
Close, but no.
Red alarm. Red alarm.
Tom?
Well, I'm going to say it's not red alert. I mean, maybe fuchsia alert would be appropriate. You know, not quite up to the level of red. No, I don't have anything.
It is double red alert.
Wait, really?
Seriously, yes. This was the episode where Lieutenant Finney, who was a friend of Kirk's, was killed because he was in a science pod and he didn't get out in time, and Kirk had to eject the science pod during an ion storm.
Yeah.
And he was being court-martialed for not being at double red alert, which is when it was the ship or the pod, and then it turned out to all be a setup.
Whoever edits needs to add in the dean from Animal House, or double super secret probation.
Then, as of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
I will probably edit this one, and I've learned my lesson about dropping in too many sound clips. So.
But this one was requested, so you have permission. You're allowed.
I'm allowed. Oh, okay. All right. So that was, so again, still tied. Neither of you got it. Tom. This is a TOS question again. Okay, what planet was being considered for admission to the Federation when Spock's father was on board the Enterprise?
Corridon.
Very good. 2 for Tom. All right, Scott, this is TNG.
There we go.
To which Enterprise D officer did Q offer his power?
Riker.
Yes, indeed. And the tie continues. All right, Tom. This is TNG. Instead of communicators, how did the crew contact the ship?
Com badges.
Yes, com badge.
I don't know. That question is, a com badge is a communicator, but
I know,
okay.
That's
the distinction they want to make.
That's why I kind of stopped halfway through the question. I was like, this is not all right. I didn't write the questions, folks. I just read them. All right. So, Scott, this is TNG again. Oh, yuck. Okay. The Big Good... Oh, no, wait. Wrong one. The Big Goodbye introduced Picard's favorite holonovel featuring which character?
Dixon Hill, private investigator.
Or, as the card says, Dixon Hill, the hard-boiled detective. I don't think so.
Maybe in the books that the program is based on.
Yeah. Picard wasn't too good at doing hard-boiled.
Don't listen to him, Gloria. He's lying.
Okay, TNG again. For Tom. Which villain from the Sherlock Holmes holonovel achieves sentience on board the Enterprise D?
Let's go with Moriarty on that one.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I feel almost like obliged that we need to add in all the extra dialogue like they do on the TV game shows, like, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Well, I don't think it's this. It could be this, you know.
Well, I don't think they continued the Countess Regina Bartholomew as a villain.
We'll be back after these messages.
TOS. Okay. Who just did that? That was Tom, so this is Scott. That was me. Which of the following three shuttlecraft was lost on Taurus 2? The Galileo, the Einstein, or the Columbus?
This is mostly a guess. I'm going to say the Einstein.
That is incorrect.
No.
Tom?
The Columbus.
Incorrect. It was the Galileo. No.
I assume that both Tom and I were viewing the Galileo as, no, that shuttle's immortal. It was never lost.
No, they just put a 2.
Yeah, they... Well...
Because they weren't going to scrap the prop.
As I recall, it was lost a couple times even before the 2 got added.
It's like Voyager shuttles. Just... Mm-hmm. Never ending. Just pop out another.
Okay, so that was Scott. So this is Tom. And Tom, you are in the lead by 2. And the subject is Voyager. What instrument did Harry Kim play as a youth?
The clarinophone, clarinet.
The clarinet, yes. All right. Scott, you got to work at it here. However, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. What was the Klingon name for Shuk Hari?
Ooh. Wow.
And I will give you 3 points if you get this. And my sympathy for knowing that movie well enough to get it right.
Boy. The Klingon name for Shuk Hari. I'm not even going to be able to come up with a plausible guess. So I got a pass.
Okay. Tom, it's worth 2.
I haven't seen it enough.
I want to say something like Gorgodorsh or something like that, but I think I might be confusing it with the Romulan.
No, it is Keetu. At least I'm assuming that's how it's pronounced. I would not have gotten that in a million years.
It's all right. It's Sovacor anyways, so.
Well, Shaka Ree was heaven. It was just...
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Scott's. So this is Tom. Okay. And another Final Frontier question. What course... Are you shitting me? All right. This is another one. It'll be three points if you get it right. What course coordinates would take the Enterprise into the Great Barrier?
127000. Which, for anyone with an IT background, will laugh at that joke. It means home.
Good try, but no. Scott, for 2 points.
Second star to the right, straight on till morning.
Again, a good call, but no. And this just shows me that the writers of Star Trek V had no freaking clue what they were doing.
0000 Mark 2.
So the way the coordinates work is the first number is the horizontal, the x-axis.
X-axis, yeah.
And the second number is the y-axis, so it creates a three-dimensional. So 000 Mark II just means you're going a little bit down and straight ahead. Just doesn't mean anything. Now this is okay. What institution was advertised on Nimbus 3 to help finance emigration?
What institution? I guess this is definitely showing that I've seen Star Trek V the least of the movies.
And this is a good thing.
Because I got nothing. The Cajun Dancers Institute.
Nope.
I think it's the right scene, but.
What do you got, Tom?
I wish I had something as good as the Cajun Dancers Institute.
Yeah, because that would have been so much better than what the real answer is. Oh, trust me. Federation Federal. I hate that movie all over again.
That is, in fact, even worse than Double Red Alert.
All right. So, Tom, Next Generation.
Okay.
By the way, the topics are a Starfleet Delta, Saturn, the UFP symbol, the Klingon symbol, a phaser, and the starship. So I'm not sure what exactly they mean. I don't think this even came with instructions. It's just trivia cards, a die, and a cool box to put it in. Which Eurydian claimed Worf's father was still alive? That's a good one. That's a tricky one.
Jangum Shrek.
Ooh. Almost, but not quite.
I know that it's close, but I can't get there.
The only reason I wouldn't take it is because Jankum is the Tellarite, Tellarite in Prodigy. It's Jaglum Shrek.
Yep.
Send your letters to Sean Ray to complain. All right, Scott. This is Next Gen.
Okay.
The planet. What planet contained the Klingon monastery Worf visited?
Boreth.
Yes. I was about to say, now they're getting difficult, but I guess not.
Well, now how do you pronounce that? Is that Boreth or Boreth? Or...
Okay, you're all tied up again.
I pronounce it like pecan.
It's pecan.
And foyer. This is more behind the scenes stuff that the listeners will not be privy to, but for those in our network group chat, it's hilarious.
Or offensive.
Right.
All right, TNG again. So this is Tom.
Yeah.
Where was the transporter duplicate of William Riker found?
Seems like Cestus 3 comes in for a lot of things.
That's, I know that's not it. That's not.
But Cestus 3 is used quite often, so.
It's mentioned twice.
Fine. Listeners missed me rolling my eyes. Let Scott get this one.
We see the planet once, and Sisko mentions it once. Scott?
Sisko mentions
Cestus 3? Don't you think I wanted to ask him about fighting the Gorn on Cestus 3, which actually he didn't? Well, I guess actually they did, sort of. But
yeah,
actual fight with Kirk and the Gorn was on some unnamed planet way far away from Cestus 3.
All right. So
third moment. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, we do that sometimes. So Riker's transporter clone, that was... I think this is an oddity of the episode because I think... At different points in the episode, it's pronounced Nelvala 4 and Nervala 4.
It's written down here as Nervala 4. You got it. So that's 1 point to Scott.
I'm not certain that they pronounce it both ways, but I know Riker very clearly hit that R, so he said Nervala 4.
All right. So
where are we at?
It is 10 to 11. Or actually, it's actually 1 minute to 10 right now, but the score is 11 to 10. Ah! I'm funny. All right.
Waka waka.
Next gen. And this is Scott's. Who does Wesley Crusher leave the Enterprise D with?
Okay. He's done it a couple times. So.
Yeah, this is a little big. Let's let the last.
Yeah, the final time. I have to assume they meant for the last time, and that's with the Traveler.
Yeah, because I was like Picard, and then I looked at the answer of the. Okay. Yeah, it's not like he never left the ship. That's a really badly worded question, but you got it right.
or we could get technical and say that he left the Enterprise D with nobody because the Traveler told him to stay on that planet with the Native American population and learn from them.
Yeah.
So the Traveler was not there. It was Wesley alone on the transporter pad, and he beamed down to the planet, and that was him leaving.
And that was on a break from Starfleet Academy, so.
You want the points all or right. not?
Oh, I'm taking the points. But I gotta get one over on the cards whenever I can because they actually have thrown some questions at me that I couldn't answer.
All right. Tom. Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. Planet? What Klingon moon was destroyed in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country?
That would be Praxis.
Yes, it would be. And it's heating up. It is 13 to 12. Scott has a 1-point lead. The Undiscovered Country. Got a little bit of clumping here. What does firing an unauthorized phaser do on board a starship?
Sets off the unauthorized phaser alarm.
Sure does.
Lights and sounds and it dispatches security.
Yeah, especially if you're in the galley that no ship should have at that point.
Much less a weapons locker in said
galley. Yeah. I have issues with Star Trek VI that I don't very often voice because I know people, it is beloved. And there are parts of it I enjoy a lot, but there are also parts of it that just really piss me off.
I have issues with the mashed potatoes in that pot that Valeris disintegrated because what the fuck with those potatoes? Who's going to eat that?
Well,
much
yeah.
Too dry.
Well, and just the pan disintegrated, but the potatoes didn't. I understand that it's a great sight gag, but and it's also if you read Nicholas Meyer's book View from the Bridge, he talks about his the Star Trek movies he directed and how he came at them not as he wasn't a Star Trek fan before he directed Wrath of Khan, but as soon as he got hired, he binged the entire 79 episode TOS, which wasn't easy at the time because there were no VHSs at the time. He had to go to the studio and have them screen them for him, or maybe they had the big video. Anyway, he watched them all, but he came at it, and here just a little bit of I'm throwing some trivia in too, folks, because I'm just sitting here reading cards. But he said he made Wrath of Khan. He wanted to make it so that his father would understand it. And that's why we get stuff like no smoking signs in the simulator and fire extinguishers on the bridge and stuff like that. And with Undiscovered Country, Meyer is a big Sherlock Holmes fan. His first movie was The 7% Solution, which was a Sherlock Holmes basically fanfic that he wrote and then got made into a movie. So that's why all of the gravity boots and investigation and all that stuff was in there, even though it made no sense in Star Trek. Tom? Okay. This is Undiscovered Country again. Which Federation colonel disguised himself as a Klingon to attempt to assassinate the Federation president?
That is to me, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know it's not North. It's not South. I think it's going to be Colonel West.
Odo.
Is that your final answer?
Colonel West, final yes. answer.
Colonel no, it's Colonel West. Odo.
Colonel Odo, yes. Okay, so Scott, this is Star Trek Voyager. What was the name of the luxurious Talaxian resort Neelix programmed into the holodeck?
I can see it. I know what it was, but I can't remember the name.
Tom?
All I can remember is what the mission log guys call it, which is Club Bro Med. I don't remember the real name of it now.
It's Paxau Resort.
That sounds galaxy.
I honestly don't remember ever hearing that in dialogue. But
I don't either, but I really need to rewatch Voyager.
How much you want to bet that Neelix name checked the place once when they introduced that set for the first time and they never called it by name again?
Yeah. I mean, how often did they actually say Shea Sandrine? I mean, I think it was maybe once, and then we just all know it's there. Okay. After a rousing first half, Scott has 15, Tom has 14. All right. That was Scott's question. This is Tom's.
Yep.
Okay. Deep Space Nine. By the way, I just finished listening to Andrew Robinson's A Stitch in Time. The audiobook is read by him. And I almost checked out on it. It's broken up into three sections, and part one almost lost me, but I'm glad I stuck it out because it's a pretty good book. And you know, really, I'm not a huge fan of Star Trek novels, but it's pretty good.
I read that on my Kindle like years ago, probably about 10 years ago. I really liked it. I might seek out, in using my ways, an unabridged. It's unabridged, right?
Right. Yeah. It's like 13 hours long or something.
Ooh, yeah. If it's unabridged, I may have to get that for myself.
Okay. Deep Space Nine for Scott. Which of Dax's joined hosts was a gymnast and once met Dr. Leonard McCoy?
That was going to be, I'm pretty sure the name starts with an A. Audra?
No. Tom?
Is it Emily?
It is Emily. And we are tied again.
Oh, he snuck in.
Yes.
I thought you were going to get that because I've heard you rattle off them all before. At some other point, we were doing something and it was another trivia thing and you rattled off all of Dax's hosts.
I can probably guarantee that was, it just happened to be on the heels of a somewhat recent rewatch. Mm. That would be the only reason that I would have them still in there.
Okay, Tom, this is the search for Spock.
Hey.
Phaser. What component of the warp drive on a Klingon ship did Scotty have trouble finding?
The damn antimatter inducers.
Very good. Very good. I was puzzled by that. That's right. I was like, where's the antimatter? There? No, there. Okay.
Where's the... No, you got to remember the dam. Where's that the damn antimatter? Yep. Yeah. That or nothing.
We don't need to put in sound clips, folks. We make our own.
Yes. No. Yes.
Again, search for Spock, Scott.
Okay.
Klingon. The Klingons. Why was Valkris killed?
such a nice, brief, simple question. Because she peeked at the data.
Yes, she saw she had seen the secret Genesis data.
Mm-hmm. You have seen it?
Yeah. Unfortunate. Actually, you know, I generally don't. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the novels, but I was a huge fan of the novelizations. And the novelization of Wrath of Khan goes into, or not Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock, goes into a lot more detail about what's going on with Krug and Valkris. And it's really pretty interesting. Because, you know, she says, you know, I understand my lord and my love. They were not lovers. She was regaining the honor for her family. And so she was calling him that as you know, she loved him for giving her the opportunity to redeem her family. There was some great dishonor in the family. And so she was actually kind of happy to be killed in the pursuit of that, because that was an honorable death. And then the whole thing where Krug strangles the spaghetti monster on Spock's thing. That was a he had this, and this was kind of I think Christopher Lloyd knew this. I think this might have been part of the backstory of the character, because the book paints Krug as like this, basically a middle manager with delusions of grandeur of being this great Klingon hero. And there's like these stories, these sagas of this, of, you know, great Klingon heroes of the past single-handedly defeating dragons and stuff. And that's why he strangles the giant bug and stuff. Anyway.
Because it's going to make a good song one day.
Yeah. Tom?
The grape jelly.
Search for Spock again.
Okay.
Who sabotaged the Excelsior's engines so it could not pursue the Enterprise?
Boy, there's so many options there, but I think we'll go with Mr. Scott. Captain Scott.
I want the quote.
the more they overtake the plumbing, the easier it is to stop up the drain.
That's the quote. It's even here. The more they overthink the more they overthink the plumbing, the easier it is to stop up the drain.
Here, doctor, from one surgeon to another.
He hands him a bunch of AA batteries. All right, Scott from Search for Spock. What was to be the fate of the Enterprise after the Genesis mission?
Decommissioning.
Yep. It's weird. These things go from like absolute complete softballs to how the hell would anybody know that?
The coordinates, the directional coordinates to Shakari? Come on. Yeah.
Okay, back to the undiscovered country, Tom.
Okay.
How does Spock propose to locate the cloaked bird of prey?
How does Spock propose locating it?
Yeah, Spock didn't say this.
Well,
yes, he did. If you get either of the people that came up with this idea, I'll give you the point.
Okay. Basically finding the ionized gas from its tailpipe.
Yeah.
Things got to have
a Uhura who's like, things got to have a tailpipe.
Yeah.
But what they're asking for is by using the equipment that detected gaseous anomalies to find the cloak ship's plasma exhaust trail. So Uhura suggested it, and Spock was like, don't we have a bunch of shit for looking at gaseous anomalies?
No, Uhura said that too.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. What about all that equipment we have for cataloging gaseous anomalies?
Oh.
Pause. I mean, the thing's got to have a tailpipe.
Right.
No, it was Spock who initially said it, because he's the one who gas. Your plasma.
Yes, you're right.
Ionized gas. And then Uhura said the gaseous anomalies and the tailpipe and...
Gas. Gas, Captain. Under impulse power, she expends fuel like any other vessel. We call it plasma. But whatever the Klingon designation, it is merely ionized gas.
Well, what about all of that equipment we're carrying to catalog gaseous anomalies? Well, the thing's got to have a tailpipe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So he came up with what to look for, but Uhura did come up with the method for finding it.
And the anachronistic comparison with the tailpipe.
Of course.
So we got to give the writers of the trivia cards a little more credit, I guess. They were right and we were wrong.
And we self-corrected. All right, back to the undiscovered country. We're still at the undiscovered. If we get one more undiscovered country question, I'll reshuffle the cards.
If we get one more undiscovered country question, I'll answer it.
Well, you're about to, I hope. What was the odd power fluctuation that made Spock realize another ship attacked Gorkon's ship?
What was the odd power fluctuation?
What was the odd power fluctuation that made Spock realize another ship attacked Gorkon's ship?
I just don't know exactly what they're looking for. So,
Tom, any ideas?
I want to say it's a radiation surge only the size of my head. I know I've got Chekhov's line right, but I don't remember if it's the first part.
Excuse me. I don't recall the size of my head. Oh, from the night before.
Because Kirk had said, Chekhov, know anything about a radiation surge? So, yeah, I had forgotten about that. So I'm guessing it must be some sort of radiation surge.
All right, I will let you all decide whether you should get the point or not. The answer is an enormous neutron energy surge. Is that worth a point, or is that not close enough?
No, he gets it.
Okay.
Well, thank you. That makes up for the Jangum Jacklum Shrek one.
So that was Scott, and now this is Tom, and we're back to Deep Space Nine. What two planets did the Denorios belt separate?
Is that mine?
Yes.
Is it Bajor and Cardassia?
It is not.
Wow. That's what I was going to say it was, too. What two planets did the belt separate? I don't know. I would have said Bajor and Cardassia.
Bajor 9 and Bajor 10.
That's stupid.
And this is Scott. Correct? Correct. Okay.
Yes.
What Romulan admiral tried to defect to the Federation?
This is TNG. Okay. Okay. Romulan is defecting. What series are we talking about? That was Admiral Jarok.
Indeed it was. His first name was apparently Alador, but...
Which I'm sure they said one time.
Played by the wonderful James Sloyan.
James Sloyan, yes.
At this point, Tom has 22 points. Scott has 21.
We're wrestling with that one-point lead.
And now this is Tom's question, correct? The motion picture.
Yes.
Which admiral did Kirk convince to give him back command of the Enterprise?
Nagura.
Nagura. I doubt it was that easy with Nagura. Yeah, right.
Took me years to figure out what he was actually saying.
Oh, really?
I mean, because, watching it as a kid, I doubt it was that easy with Nagura. Uhura, what? trying to figure out the accent and then, lousy dialogue because everything was mumbled anyways. Yeah. So,
all right, Scott.
The number of years it took me to figure out that in Star Trek IV, Scotty was saying a sour stomach.
As opposed to what?
No, I don't know.
You didn't know what he was saying at all?
I think child me was like, what? A sorrow stomach? What? What? It was giving me a sorrow stomach.
Wrath of Khan.
All right.
So probably going to be easy. What creatures did Khan use to control Chekhov and his commander's minds?
And of course, they were SETI eels.
Mm-hmm.
These days, when I think of SETI eels, all I can picture is the one time that my ex-wife made lobster tail for dinner. on the very slim chance that my ex-wife, downloads and listens to this show on occasion, if you're listening, I do remember it was delicious.
Moving right along. Tom, this is Wrath of Khan. Who was the captain of the Reliant?
That would be Captain Darmok. I mean, Terrell.
Actually, it would have been Captain Dathan, but
that's true. Ooh, you should lose a point.
All right, Wrath of Khan again. This is who just answered. You just answered Sadio, so this is Tom's.
No, Tom just answered Captain Terrell. This is mine.
Oh, right, this is yours. Okay. I'll give you three if you get this one. What was the Reliance prefix code? You got to get it right.
I'm not going to get it right.
Would it be a hint to know, would it reduce our number of points if you told us how many digits?
No, I'll give you that. Five. So I don't think that'll help.
Yeah, I see the fingers flipping the switches.
The shields are dropping. Raise them. I can't.
he smacks the console and you can see the paneling bend upward. I can't. No, I don't got it. Tom, go for it. And he said this was a 3-point question, so you get two if you get this.
Actually, I'll give you all three if you get this.
Jeez. 18603.
You got 4 out of 5 numbers, not in the right order, but 16309.
Okay. That's still not too bad from
not too bad, not too bad. No. You wouldn't have won the lottery, but
no.
All right. Enterprise.
It's been a long road, but
it has, getting from there to here. No, God, no. I almost started singing it. I hate that song so much, and it gets stuck in my head. Anyway, Tom, this is your question. Oh, for God's sake. No, we're not doing that one. I'm sorry. That's even for the softballs, that was too easy.
Was it asking for the name of the theme song?
The registry number of the Enterprise. that's just insulting to anything. Okay, let's try. Hang on, we got a little. Okay, this is Enterprise again. What hand weapon replaced the EM-33?
The face pistol?
Indeed. That was still easy, but it was not, you know. What was the name of the series?
Well, at what point? In what season?
Scott, Enterprise.
Yes.
How many distinct species of Zindi existed?
5.
6. Sorry.
No stealing points on this one.
Nope, sorry.
I went with the number that we're alive. That's my fault.
Yep.
Let me see. What does it say? It actually elaborates. Aquatics?
It's going to be the Zindi primates, the arboreals, the aquatics, the insectoids. Wait, hold on. Primates, arboreals, insectoids, reptilians, aquatics, and avians.
Yep. I'll give you a point for that.
Boom!
Just as I planned. Right? Is it a tie again, or?
10-26, 10-28. There's still a 2-point difference. With Tom, you're in the lead by 2 points.
Oh, okay. I'm good with that, then.
Okay.
I'll get there.
All right. So this is Tom. we're still in Enterprise? Oh, okay. Who played Lieutenant Malcolm Reed?
Dominic Keating.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott, Dominic. We're back to Wrath of Khan. Whose nephew stayed at his post when all the trainees ran?
that was Scotty's nephew, Cadet Preston.
Midshipman. Wasn't it Midshipman Peter Preston? I don't think he was a cadet. Maybe he was. Well, his name was Peter
engineer's
Preston.
Engineer's mate.
Yeah. I know he's engineer's mate, sir.
All right. Let me look
but
that up.
You do have to wonder, would he have made it if Scotty had gone to freaking sick bay instead of the bridge?
Yeah.
And yeah. Just stood there looking sad.
All right.
Another thing it took me forever to realize. What Preston meant when he asked, is the word given, Admiral?
I'll admit that one took me a couple of viewings to catch on to. And then, right.
Went right over my head for a long time.
And, you know, of all of... There are plenty of technical goofs in Wrath of Khan, but the one that always stood out to me was the changing blood smear on Kirk's uniform.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Voyager for Scott. No, Tom.
Tom. Oh.
No, we're not doing that. Who portrayed Captain Janeway? No.
Genevieve Bujold.
Have y'all seen any of the her work? I mean, I love her work. She's a fabulous actress, but yeah, she was not right for Janeway.
Didn't dodge a bullet.
Yes, very much so. Okay. Which dwarven Lord of the Rings actor portrayed Leonardo da Vinci in Janeway's holodeck program?
Rhys Davies?
Yes, John Rhys Davies.
Thank you.
That is at least slightly difficult. Asking who frickin' played Janeway is just...
I'm going to raise an eyebrow that you let him get away with middle and last name rather than full name.
I've already established that is a thing. It's the Jeopardy rules. If you just give the last name, as long as the first name is irrelevant, you're fine. Now, if it was like, which Madison got the last question right and all you said was Madison, then that wouldn't have worked. But all right. Voyager or Scott. What? Oh, Christ. All right. What famous female pilot? Do I need to go on?
Yes.
All right. What famous female pilot was found by Voyager?
Amelia Earhart.
Thank you.
So when you started asking the question, I had forgotten which series the topic was. So it's like, yeah, you do need to go on.
All right. So we're at 10, 20, 30, 2, and 10, 20, 32. So it's still... Tom's in the lead by 2 points. Tom, Voyager.
Okay.
Which former Maquis was half Klingon?
Well, I don't know if it's exclusive, but I think in this case we're talking about B'Elanna. I mean, there could be more.
Yes, B'Elanna Torres.
Was she ever truly former Maquis?
Almost all of the Maquis became former Maquis really damn fast on Voyager.
Yes, unreasonably fast.
Indeed. Scott, we are TOS. Okay. This question will be worth 3 points if you can get it. What was the companion in the Gamma Canaris region mainly composed of? And I will even give you a hint without a point penalty. This is from the episode Metamorphosis.
What was the companion made of? That's the question?
Yep. And I'll tell you straight up, I wouldn't have got this one.
Silicates.
No. Tom, 3 points if you get it.
Snails and puppy dog tails?
Close, but no. Ionized hydrogen and electricity.
Oh, well.
That was an evil question.
And that was the one with Zephyr Cochran, right?
Indeed it was, yes. Really good episode. But yeah, that was a cruel, cruel question.
Kind of lousy for a retcon with First Contact, but I mean, just trying to fit Zephyr Cochran there and, you know, the follow up. All the other lore just made it difficult that he disappeared into,
Well, in the episode, he says he was an old man when he crashed on the planet and the companion reconstituted him.
Okay.
Okay. This is TOS for Tom. Ooh, fun one. What Starfleet attorney did Captain Kirk date five years prior to his court-martial? I'm trying to remember
Which
her name.
Didn't he date?
That's
right. I was gonna try to steal with all of them.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Scott? Nope. Or Ariel Shaw. I know it means nothing to y'all, but
well, no, now you say that. That name does sound familiar, but
okay. Scott. TOS.
Shit.
Ooh, more evil. What was the name of the first ship the Klingons faked a distress call with near Capella 4? The episode is Friday's Child. It's also the episode where we got the quote from Scotty, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me."
All right, fake distress call from the... Yeah, I don't know.
Tom?
Yeah, nothing. Not even anything remotely funny.
ESS Deirdre. That was the episode with Julie Newmar. And also, fun Rick lore fact, if my daughter had been born a son, we would have named her named him Leonard James, which is what the baby was named at the end of that episode, Leonard James Aka-R.
Wait a minute. There's a baby born at the end of that episode named Leonard James
Aka-R? Yes.
Okay.
Did you see that in a novel?
Yes.
Oh, a bunch of them.
Yeah, he shows up in so many books.
Yeah.
And okay, and now I'm remembering that, yeah, he's in the books, he's referred to as a Capellan.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've always been wondering, who the hell is this guy?
Well, they make mention of him. Like, he references that stuff a couple times in the novels.
Watch the TOS episode, Friday's Child. That's where it's from. So that was Tom?
He's always around.
No, that was Scott. That was your question.
Yes.
This is your question, Tom, and this is the Wrath of Khan. I'm going to go ahead and give you this one because I keep skipping yours because you keep getting really stupid, easy ones. But who quoted the Klingon proverb, "Revenge is a dish best served cold"?
That would be Mr. Khan.
Just very cold. Space. Okay. Yeah.
What's the topic? I missed it.
Enterprise.
Okay.
What positron-based sensors could detect objects even when cloaked? I'll give you 3 points for this one if you get it.
What positron-based sensor could detect ships while cloaked? And this is on Enterprise.
This is Star Trek Enterprise, yeah. Another show I really need to do a rewatch of.
I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's probably from season 4 with the Romulan chameleon ship. I'm taking a stab and gonna say anti-proton beam.
Nope. Tom?
Well, you said it's positron based and Scott said anti-positron, so
I said anti-proton.
Oh, anti-proton. Well, then a positron beam.
I see. Positron is the antimatter version of an electron. However, it has nothing to do with this. Quantum beacons, whatever the hell that is.
Okay.
Okay, Tom, this is Wrath of Khan. And to quote John Irons, I don't decide who gets what questions.
I don't pick the questions, folks.
Who did Chekhov claim orders came from for Reliant to appropriate the Genesis device? And you got to do it with the accent.
Admiral James T. Kirk. Yes. You got to get the first.
All right. 3 more questions each. All right, Scott, Wrath of Khan. I'm sorry. How long did Carol Marcus say Starfleet had kept the peace?
I'm picturing the scene. I'm pretty sure she's talking with David.
Mm-hmm. They're walking down the hallway.
The only thing that's coming to my mind is 15.
Negative.
Because there were... Okay, no, I can't say where it's coming from, but that's what it was.
I don't think they were walking down the hall. I think it was in their team meeting.
Oh yeah, with the big circular.
Yep.
With the camera panned around the whole. Yes.
Yes. Starfleet has kept the peace for 100 years.
Very good.
That makes sense.
I cannot and will not subscribe to your interpretation of these events.
Also, the novelization of the book is way more graphic about what Khan did to them.
Yeah. I don't remember the details, but I remember that it was.
Tom, Wrath of Khan again. In which room of the Enterprise did Spock die?
I think engineering, but unless we need to get a little more specific.
Yeah, it needs to be a little more specific.
Dilithium chamber?
I'll give it to you. It says dilithium reactor room. Dilithium chamber is okay. Good enough. An ultimate question for each of you. Scott, this is from Search for Spock. What do the Vulcans call their living spirit that can be transferred to another before death?
Atra.
Indeed. Tom, also Search for Spock. Who had Spock transferred his Katra to?
Do you want to pull another card?
Yes. okay, TNG. And folks, if you don't know, it was McCoy. Which was a whole point of the whole freaking movie. So,
and listeners, you're missing Rick's face now.
What is the registry number of the Enterprise D?
1701. No bloody A, B, C, but D.
So clever.
Almost. I was like, oh, no. You, okay. Yeah. All right. Last question for both of you.
Well, where are we point-wise?
All right. So it's 10, 20, 30, 41 to 43. Tom, yeah. So, Tom, you're ahead by 3 points.
If it's 41 to 43, then he's ahead by 2 points. Hey.
You're right. Hey.
Bing.
All I did was compare the two numbers that you literally just said.
You're absolutely right. And this is why I am a stagehand and not a marine biologist like I wanted to be, because fucking math. All right. Whose turn is it?
That. I'm.
All right. Hang on. I've got an idea.
Oh, he's going to pull out a book and he's going to give like a final winner takes all question for the ultimate Trek trivia challenge for the next generation. Okay.
Hey.
All right. The next questions I read will be worth 10 points. And I'm absolutely going to choose them. This ain't going to be random.
Are we buzzing in for these?
No, they'll be assigned, but.
Okay.
All right. The topic is starships from the next generation. Tom, you're in the lead. You may choose to go first or second.
I will go second.
Which direction do you want to kick off? All right, Scott.
Okay.
In the episode Too Short a Season, this Constellation-class ship was Mark Jameson's last command before becoming an admiral. Is it the USS Renegade, the USS Gettysburg, or the USS Lantry?
What class ship?
Constellation. Same as the Stargazer.
Admiral Jameson's last command?
Mm-hmm. No, last command before becoming an admiral.
Oh, okay.
I just want to point out that you assured me that season one was not that bad.
Yeah, this has no bearing on that. The Gettysburg.
You are correct. So your final score is 10, 20, 30, 40, 51. Tom, this is for all the marbles, bragging rights, and being annoying at Thanksgiving.
More annoying.
Commanded by Captain Reeks, this New Orleans-class ship met the Enterprise-D at Ditalics B for a covert meeting between Captains Reeks and Picard. The USS Thomas Paine, the USS Magellan, the USS Lalo.
The Thomas Paine?
Tom is victorious.
Now, there were more people at that meeting.
Yeah, but that is, okay. People are irrelevant. We're talking about the ships.
Actually, it was Captain Ricks.
Wow, that's a double Mario coin there.
Well, gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed final that. Ultimate I had a good time.
Final ultimate tiebreaker question. Tom, what race was Captain Ricks?
He wasn't Bolian, but was he supposed to be?
Damn it, yeah, he was Bolian. Bolian.
Yeah.
Oh, was
he? Was just a skinny Bolian, which we never saw again.
Well, there you go.
He was a skinny Bolian in a set that had a lot of red lights in it.
So, okay. He was just from the north.
Lots of planets have
a little planet of a north. Well played, sir. I didn't think I would, definitely didn't think I would win, but didn't even think I would do that well.
This went about as I expected it would.
Well, I've got to say, you are both very evenly matched. It's just the way the questions came out. The very rare hard question ended up always going to Scott. Or it was what neither of you answered. No, I'm not saying that you didn't know your stuff. I'm just saying that it seemed like all of the softballs went to Tom, or the ones you got that you couldn't answer, Scott couldn't either. So it didn't affect the score. Whereas Scott didn't get as many softballs, and he got the hard shit too. So I think you guys were very evenly matched. However, Tom, I don't want to take away from your victory either. You did very well.
I don't want to take away from your victory, but yeah, you had the easy track. So.
Scott, get us fuck out of here.
Well, I'm up for doing it again.
I would like to be I would like to do this again, and I'll be more diligent with keeping track of which line I put the damn score.
Or you can jump into the fray and it'll be the three of us and we'll have someone else administer the questions.
I'd be down with that too.
All right.
I'm just thinking Worf's line now. And I will make it a threesome. Seriously? Do you even hear yourself?
All right. So, folks, that was the ultimate contest until the next ultimate contest. Let us know what you thought. Double ultimate contest. That'll be the next one. Now, we joked about this being, you know, a long time in the planning. Obviously, we weren't serious. We came up with this idea about 6 hours ago. So we didn't have a whole lot of polish time. But next time we do this, we'll try to have a little bit more structure. Let us know what you thought of the trivia face-off. And if you have questions that you would like to see appear in the next trivia face-off, hey, send them in. Don't post them into the Facebook group because then that'll be a spoiler. Like, send an email or something.
Do we have an email?
I think we do.
We don't. No, we don't. Send it to... Okay, if you want to email us with questions, starbase66@gmail.com.
There you go.
I haven't received a non-spam email on that account in years, so it will definitely be noticed.
And we will await those questions with bated breath. And while we do so, we toss it out to my co-panelists, to see if they have anything to plug. Tom, have you developed any pluggables lately?
Not lately. I'm still hoping to put out more episodes of What's Your Headcanon? Headcanon. Sorry, I wasn't ready for that one. But still working on it. So it's not dead yet.
No,
it's getting better.
It's coming. It's in its larval stage.
Exactly.
It'll hit eventually.
It's pupating right now.
Yes. Rick.
I got a super secret project going on, but other than that, find me here on That Star Trek Podcast, on Captain Game Show occasionally, on Cosmic Potato. I'm on Moon Show. We all. And go back and listen to all of it during the hiatus. And yeah. My favorite dinosaur is the ankylosaur.
Thank God we know that now.
Well, you know, nobody ever asks what your... Once you become an adult, nobody ever asks what's your favorite dinosaur. It's like it becomes irrelevant after a certain age. I think everybody should be able to tell what their favorite dinosaur is at any given time. It used to be the Dimetrodon, but that's not really a dinosaur. I still like it, though. Big sail on its back and stuff. Cool. Iguanodon's fun to say.
As for myself, you can find me various places here on the network as an occasional panelist on Moon Show, Cosmic Potato, that's Star Trek, Captain Game Show, What's Your Headcanon, and as the host of this very podcast. If you are tired of listening to my voice, then you can feel free to visit my website at www.planetrisecreative.com with a 100% guarantee of no voice clips from me on the site. Only artwork, graphic artwork, graphic design work, and I probably wrote some stuff on there. All you listeners out there, thank you for listening, for downloading, for hopefully subscribing to the show. If you have not, please consider doing so, and consider subscribing to all the other wonderful shows that we have here on the podcast, that we have here on the network. Rick, fix it in post. We'll be back in the future.
You're making it real difficult.
Yep, I know. I'm just hacking away at it. No clean cuts on this one. It's gonna be nothing but ragged edges. Come back for our next episode, folks, where I'm not sure what we'll be discussing. We're kind of doing these a little bit out of order, but I know we have some that are in the editing stages, and we have others that are planned and will be recorded in the next couple weeks. I know they're good, especially the ones that I don't host.
Stop. Just stop.
I'm doing it for fun now. Thank you very much, everyone. We'll see you next time. Good night. Wow, I did not nail the dismount on that plug. Normally, I send to the website where you can see some of my graphic artwork that I do for fun and profit. Boom, done. That's the button. But I tried something different, and guess what? I shouldn't have. I'll keep that in mind for next time.
Welcome, folks, to the Crockpot Channel.
That Crockpot Podcast.
Camping in Crockpots. Or is it Crackpots?
Crackpots on Crockpots.
Ooh, there you go.
Tune in, folks. It'll be right after the She-Woman Man-Haters Club or whatever it is.
For all womankind.
Yeah, Man-Haters and All Womankind Podcast. Oh, damn it. Now that means I'm going to have to make a logo and a title page for Crackpots on Crockpots.